What does it mean that Jesus is our high priest? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're currently in a series called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. And as you probably know by now, we have a really exciting book by that same title. You can get that book at faithalone.org. And we're so enthusiastic about this book, we brought in the author to join us for the duration of this series. Who better to go through Hebrews with us than the one who wrote a commentary recently? Dr. Kenneth Yates is in the studio with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. So let's go right to their discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're here with Ken Yates.
Great to be with y'all.
We are going through Hebrews, and honestly, I'm just learning so much just talking to Ken about this. If you've never heard our show and you're not familiar with free grace theology, I know your mind is just going to be blown by how much is in the book of Hebrews that you just can't get if you're just flipping through the pages and you're just reading it like a novel.
That's true.
You know, every word is just so meaningful in this book. Isn't that right, Ken?
Yeah, as we've already said in some of our episodes, you really have to be careful. Like, for example, with the word salvation, what does it mean? When you see the word inheritance, when you see the word son, we think of the deity of Christ. But in the book of Hebrews, for example, it means king. So you really do have to pay attention to the words that the author is using and the context in which he's using them.
Well, where we've come so far is we're going to start at chapter 3, and we're going to try to do the first 6 verses here. So let me just read, and we'll just see where it goes. 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren. Oh, wait 1 second. What does that mean? What is holy brethren? That tells us something about the readers.
Well, this is very important because we're getting into the second warning passage here in chapters 3 and 4, and one of the major issues is who is the author addressing? And as we've already discussed, a lot of times people say, well, he's talking to people only claim to be Christians. But no, these are holy brethren. These are people, and this goes back to chapter 2, the one who sanctifies us, the one who makes us holy. He's obviously talking to Christians here, and he says they have a heavenly calling.
Very interesting. So for sure, these are born-again believers that he's speaking to. And since he's warning them against falling away, that tells us that born-again people can drift. They can fall away, right?
Absolutely. And so we see that one of the major ways the book of Hebrews is interpreted, that he's only talking about people who claim to be Christians, I think we can check that right off and say, no, that's not the case. He's talking to truly born-again people.
And notice he uses this word metakoi for the first time since 1:9, where he talked about the oil of gladness more than his companions. Well, here the word's used in a slightly different sense, more in the partaker sense, but maybe you could read that, John.
Yeah, so therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So it's this idea of partakers of the heavenly calling. That relates to the metakoi.
Yes, I don't think that's an accident. It's closely related here to the heavenly calling. Believers are not called to simply go to heaven. We're already going to go to heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. But the whole book of Hebrews is about this heavenly calling that we have to be one of these partakers with Christ when he sits upon his throne, that we can reign with him. That is what believers are called to. Another way to word this is believers are not called simply to be saved from hell, but we are called to be disciples. We are called to follow in Christ's footsteps.
So he's saying, so listen, guys, holy brethren, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, that's an interesting title for Jesus. You never hear Jesus call an apostle.
But he's sent from the Father.
Right. That's what apostle means, right?
And notice, consider. That's what you've been saying all along, Ken, that the whole point here is we need to be Christ-centered. We need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about living at the foot of the cross. That's all the way through the book of Hebrews.
And it's interesting, we have to be focused on Christ as the high priest because these guys are in danger of focusing on a different high priest.
Right.
Exactly. And if you remember chapter 2 in the previous session, the author went into great detail about how Christ suffered and trusted in the Father through his suffering. And so the author of Hebrews says, consider him, look at him, follow his example. He is our captain, as we saw in last chapter. So look at the one to whom we are to follow. And certainly this high priest is very significant, the idea that he's a high priest, because that's the way he ended chapter 2 as well. We have a merciful high priest that if we go to him, we will find all the grace and mercy and help that we need. And again, these original readers were going through difficult times, and they needed that.
Interesting. So Jesus is a king. He is a high priest. He is an apostle. He is a prophet. He is the summation of everything that Judaism pointed to. And there's just no reason for these believers to go back into Judaism when Jesus fulfills it all.
Yes, and in the book of Hebrews, one of the favorite words, I believe he uses it 13 times, is that Christ has brought in a better, the word better way. And certainly all these things are better than what they would find in Judaism. So it would be insane to go back to that system of worship.
So consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So he's comparing Jesus now to Moses.
And we're going to see in the next few verses which follow that comparison between Moses and Jesus comes out far ahead. I mean, obviously Moses was, along with Abraham and David, these were the great patriarchs, but Jesus is the king. Jesus is their Lord. Jesus is their God.
So to reverse engineer from this text, one of the things that we've saw before is somehow there's something about angel worship or something that is in this Judaism that is attractive to them, that they're tempted to go back to. And so he's arguing, no, Jesus is greater than the angels. And now this is a little more obvious. If you're attracted to go back to Judaism, it's because you have a very high view of Moses. And now he's saying Jesus is far greater than Moses too, right? So let me keep reading. Who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And this is another thing that he's already brought out in chapter 1, right? That it was through Jesus that all the ages were made, that the worlds were made. And now he's saying this house metaphor he's using. What does that mean?
Yes, this is one of those examples, Sean, where we need to be careful of the words we use, because when we use the word house here, I think a lot of Christians think of it as the church, the body of Christ. I don't think that's what the author of Hebrews is talking about. I think the house here is the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Moses constructed the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It was a place of worship. Later on in chapter 3, the author is going to quote from Psalm 95, and that is a psalm of worship, of drawing near to God in worship. And so Moses had a house of worship. Well, so does Christ. And as our great high priest, he is over the universal church, if you will, and anyone can boldly approach him. So again, I think we need to not make the mistake that the house here refers to the body of Christ, but it is the privilege that we have as Christians to worship with Christ as our high priest.
So he has the sacrifices in mind, right? Jesus is the high priest, and so he's thinking of the tabernacle and Moses' role with that. And Jesus as high priest is greater than Moses with respect to the sacrifice.
Yes, and his house is better than the house that Moses had. The tabernacle was built upon the pattern that Moses saw on Mount Sinai.
Oh, that's right. Verse 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house. He's not knocking Moses. The greatness of Jesus is not a disrespect to Moses in any way.
No.
And his house is God's house, the tabernacle.
Yes.
So Moses was faithful in worshiping God in his generation.
But obviously Christ's house is greater. And Moses was a servant, where Jesus is the creator. And so, yes, we see this comparison between the two.
Right. So verse 5, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So let's take that slowly. So Christ is a son over his own house. What is his own house?
Well, I think the idea there is that he is the creator of the universe. It is his house. He has a universal house of worship. And when he says we are his house, again, people think this is talking about the body of Christ, but it's clearly not, because notice, we are his house if indeed we hold fast to the end. He's talking about the fact that believers are a part of this worshiping house in which Christ is the high priest. And we are a part of this worshiping house as long as we hold fast to our confession. And that is the danger of the book of Hebrews. These people were thinking about leaving the Christian church to go back to Judaism. You cannot remove yourself from the body of Christ, but you can voluntarily cease worshiping through Christ as our high priest. And that's the danger.
Now, but isn't it true, though, that all believers are kind of bricks in a house, in a temple of God? That's not what he's talking about here.
Well, 1 Corinthians 3 does talk about being careful how you build upon the foundation, which is Christ. But that's more our personal works. But as far as each believer being a brick, I can't think of a verse along that, although I've met some bricks in my life. I think I've been a brick at various times too. But
So this is a metaphor. He's basically using the idea of a house as a metaphor. But does this speak to a reality in the kingdom at all, or am I reading too much into that?
Yeah, I would think that's probably reading too much in it. I think, again, in the context of the book of Hebrews, especially when we get to chapter 10, the author says we need to continually meet and encourage one another. Well, if I withdraw from the local assembly and renounce my faith, then I am withdrawing myself from that worshiping community. And I think that's what the author of Hebrews is talking about here in these first six verses.
Okay, before we close, I found a verse that refutes me.
Yeah.
1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house," which is what Sean was talking about. So,
yeah.
Sean, you win. I messed up.
I get the $5. That's what we were betting, right?
No money. No, but I'll give you a piece of paper with my signature on it. Okay, anyway, 3:1-6 is talking about the fact that Jesus was faithful, is faithful, always will be faithful. And even though Moses was faithful, Jesus is far better. And so we must cling to the Lord Jesus Christ if we wish to have the calling that God has for us, which is being his partners and his co-rulers forever.
A special thanks to Ken, Bob, and Sean for that great discussion. Now I want to tell you how to get your own copy of Dr. Kenneth Yates' book, Hebrews, Partners with Christ. You could go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And once you're there, you can either put the title in the search bar or go directly to our bookstore. This book would be a great companion for this series. Now, while you're on the website, I hope you'll take advantage of our many other free resources. You could get a subscription to our magazine. You could get a subscription to our podcast. You can get a subscription to our daily blog post. All of that and much more is completely free. I hope you'll jump on there and take advantage of all of these materials because they are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith. Well, you didn't think you could do it, but you've done it. You've made it to another Friday, which is fantastic. That means we have a weekend ahead of us. I hope you have some great relaxation and worship, and we'll get together again on Monday as we continue this series in Hebrews. Thanks for listening. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.